Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And again, today, we have this guy. This has become a pretty regular thing, and it's ordained of the Lord in the very beginning. Professor Greg Stevens, First Covenant professor at Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and at the time that we're recording this, it's just a few days ago that school started.
Just started up.
And a lot of exciting people in there.
It is very exciting. It's an honor.
Yes, it is.
When I saw you this morning, I mentioned what an honor it is to teach your disciples. And that's the way I look at them.
Wow.
They are disciples that will carry the anointing of this word of faith message.
Yes, amen.
To the uttermost parts of the world.
Yeah.
And
oh, glory
to God. It's a responsibility.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you today. And we praise you and worship you. For without you, there wouldn't even be people. Glory to God. And we praise you and thank you in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Just before Southwest Believers Convention, in studying for that convention, the Lord dropped this in my heart. And it was there. Words are spiritual containers. Now, I don't care in what language, what part of the world, whether people know it or not, their words are spiritual containers.
Yes, sir.
Words can contain faith. We know that faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. When you engage your faith. So how do you do that? Well, you go to this book. We do have this wonderful book.
We do.
You go to this book and you take these words and you put them in your heart. You put them in your mind, and then you speak them. The Cessna Citation 10, magnificent autopilot. Oh. There's just a little button right up there that says AP. But it's my choice to engage it. I could sit there through storms, turbulence, and fight that thing, or relax and let that autopilot take over that airplane. Now, I still have to manage it because it'll fly me right straight into a thunderstorm if I don't tell it what to do.
Right.
So you have to engage your faith. Now, open your Bibles with me. These will be what Brother Hagin used to call his golden text.
Golden text.
These will be our golden text. First, in John 6, 63. Notice what he said. It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. Now look, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit and they are life. Now we go to the book of Matthew. I remember someone saying, this wasn't all that long ago, I just can't support the word of faith any longer. And the person he was talking to, he's talking to his employer. He said, why? He said, I just don't think it matters all that much what you say. Let's just see. Because Jesus said it matters. So in Matthew's gospel in chapter 12, verse 32, whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or the world to come. So you going to tell me it doesn't matter what you say? Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, or the tree is known by its fruit. You generation of vipers, how can you be evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That was what was in that young man's heart in abundance. But he's a very immature Christian. So, and I know him well, and just a lovely young man. But he's not the only one. He's just the latest one.
Right.
That has said that to me, or said it to Gloria. Now listen to this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned, and by your words you got born again.
That's right. The Spirit spoke words. God's Spirit spoke words to create everything. That started the pattern. And that's the way the pattern works now. He's talking about out of a man out of his heart, out of his spirit man. Mm-hmm. What he's saying matters to God.
What he has put in there and put in there and put in there and put in there and put in there until it just automatically comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like squeezing the toothpaste, too. Whatever's in there is coming out.
That's what's coming out.
When the squeeze comes on.
Now, Greg, I want to mention this before we go any further, because this is so important. Music has the ability to bypass your mind and get into your spirit. Particularly if you listen to the same song over and over and over and over and over and over, and you can be there doing something and it's playing in the background, and you find your, well, and yeah, and I'm doing what, but you're keeping time. The Lord warned me about that many, many, many years ago, and He said, don't sing anything you wouldn't preach. So I have to be careful about certain songs. Now, the song, when he was on the cross, magnificent song, except one line, I'm not worthy. I can't sing that. Because I'm a new creature.
That's right.
And God didn't make any unworthy new creatures.
No. He said you're worthy.
So, before I recorded, and I was looking at that, and the Lord dropped it in my heart. No one's worthy. Now, that said it.
That said it.
But you have to be very, very, very careful. And if you don't, you sing something and sing it and sing it and sing it till you get it down into your spirit. And some people even get the idea that it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. When it isn't.
Mm-hmm. This is why the Jewish people, the rabbis, they sing the scripture.
Yes, they do.
They sing the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. He's called a cantor.
Yes. And the reason they sing it is because it bypasses.
Yeah, and in Hebrew, that just simply means singer.
That's it.
He's a singer of the scripture.
And that's what they do. They'll get up and they will literally sing scripture as or read it or sing it. And they do that because exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. It goes directly. This is why David sang so much of the Psalms.
The largest book in this book is a song book.
That's right.
The Psalms.
Well, you'll even see it written in there, to the worship leader, to the director.
Yes. And in that last Passover meal, mm-hmm. the last thing they did was sing.
That's right.
I've often wondered, no question about Jesus' voice. I want to hear him sing. But it makes me wonder what kind of voice Peter had. And it'd be booming. Yeah. But I expect John was a singer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't doubt that at all. The love revelation he had in him, which would have tied to that.
And I wondered many times what they sang, and how they sang it and what it sounded like. And it was a very moving moment in their lives.
They sang the ascent songs at that, the praise songs, the "For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." They began to sing those. That's on the way to the garden.
Yes, it is.
That he's
and
in
they really didn't know what was going to happen.
No.
They knew that something was afoot. Mm-hmm. But the last thing they did was sing. Isn't that good?
Amen.
And how do we begin our services? By singing. And here again, there was one particular church that I went to, and it seemed like this man would sing this for my benefit. "Spare me nothing that you bore for me on the cross, that I might be closer to you." He's not qualified. Spare me nothing that you... So, and sure enough, I went back to that church, and he got up and he sang it. I got up and interrupted him. I said, "Go sit down." He looked at me. Then I used a term from Brother Hagin. "That song is embalmed with unbelief. Just go sit down right now." So he went and sat down, and afterward the pastor told me, he said, "I have told him not to sing that song. I've told him over and over." He said, "Maybe this will fix it."
Amen. I had somebody ask me, you were mentioning about Southwest a few months back. It was wonderful this year.
It was
wonderful. Somebody said, what are you studying, professor? And I said, "I'm studying words or containers." And they looked at me with the most puzzled look, "Why are you studying that?" I said, "Because my rabbi, Brother Copeland's teaching on that. That's what I study. Whatever you're teaching on is what I began to study, because anointing is taught and it's caught."
Yes, it is.
And so when I present the news every day, what an honor it is to do that.
It's Victory News. Mm-hmm. And it's the only news network that I know anything about that they close in prayer. After hearing all that bad news, then to pray.
We always do a good news story, and we pray. And we've been known to pray in the middle of the news, too. Just when you get the unction, we'll just do it. I've become aware of something. The enemies of America, the enemies of righteousness. Maybe that's a better word, instead of the enemies of America. They have one thing in common. They begin by changing words and definitions of a thing.
Isn't that good?
That's what they do, because words are containers.
They're just recently trying to change history in the history books in the state of Texas.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You can't change history. It happened.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah, all of it. That's the reason this book tells it all. It doesn't attempt to soft pedal anything, but it's full of the goodness of God.
Now, here's where we've got to be careful with that. We get accustomed to a word or to a message, and we hear it, and we think, well, I've heard that before. You've probably heard. I've heard Brother Copeland teach on that. I've heard that story before. It's dangerous. I pastored in San Diego for many years, and I recognize Spanish. The minute I hear it, that's Spanish. When I see it, that's Spanish. I don't know what they're saying, but I know it when I hear it. I can be at a prayer line and see people praying, and then, oh, that's speaking in tongues. Oh, that's speaking in tongues. I know it when I see it, when I recognize it. There's so many believers, though, Brother Copeland, it's so sad, and I think this goes to the vision you had, the big heads.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've gone to conventions for years. They've gone to meetings for years. They recognize the terms, but they've never received the working revelation of what they heard.
That's right.
That words are a container. Satan always attacks words. So or so is the word. He always immediately comes to get the word that was sown, and then he will attack the image of something. That's his path of deception. That's how he operates out. That's how he works. So when God spoke to the earth at the very beginning, his DNA went in the earth. This is how I know the earth's not going to be destroyed by us. It'll only be destroyed by him. He did it the first time with the flood, set a covenant seal of the rainbow that I'll never do that again in that manner. But in the end, he will. Mm-hmm. So I want to read you an Aramaic translation, not a Hebrew translation, or an Arabic, an Aramaic translation of the Hebrew Bible. It's called the Targum. And in Genesis 1:3, the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. According to the Targum, here's what it says, the Aramaic translation. The word, Memra, of the Lord said, "Let there be light." Now listen to this. "And there was light according to the decree of his word."
Yes.
So it was the word that made that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why he watches over his word to perform it.
Oh, yes.
And now if we're his disciples, if we're like Christ, then we need to be watching over our words to perform it, because they are a spiritual container. So when God changed the name of Abram or Abram to Abraham, he put that H in there, which is the hay from the even the word Hashem. Hashem literally means the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a name like Mike or Greg. It's the name. So when they say Hashem, they're literally saying the name. It's that name that's so holy that we don't even know how to say that name. That's the holiness of what he put inside of that covenant man, a friend of his, mm-hmm. Abraham. So when you look at the names, and I don't think we've done a really good job, no condemnation on anyone. If you named your kid Doorknob, I'm sorry, you know, I mean, but people just come up with names nowadays. Just, I saw in the news the other day, a lady named her child after COVID. Now, Brother Hagin said that's ignorance gone to seed.
Yeah, it's worse than that.
So she named her child after a bacteria.
Why?
Because he was born around that time, and historically, I don't know why she did that. It makes no sense to me. But names have meaning. So what if I told you the very first place I see the plan of salvation is in people's names in the Bible?
Yeah.
Adam is man. Seth, his name, see, Eve thought that Abel was going to be the deliverer. She didn't know it would be thousands of years later. And then when Cain killed him, God gave another son, Seth, and she named his name as appointed. And so God appointed. So she changed her faith from being in this person to, no, this is now appointed. This will be the appointed seed. So Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enosh is his son, and it means mortal or frail. Kenan is his son. His name means sorrow. Mahaliel means blessed, has El in there, God, so it would be blessed God. I'm giving you all the definitions of the first few people in the Bible. Jared means he'll come down, shall come down. Enoch is a teacher, means teaching. Methuselah, now there was a prophecy about him, that when he dies would be the judgment. So Methuselah, his name shall bring, is what it means. His name shall bring the judgment. Lamech means despairing, and then Noah brings relief or comfort. So when you put all of their names together, what's in a name? Here's their names, the definitions. Man appointed mortal sorrow, the blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing relief or comfort. There's the plan of salvation in the first however eight guys in their names, in the meaning of their names. Now tell me words don't matter.
Well,
that can't be done.
And you, when, in naming a child, I've noticed you have to be aware of possible nicknames.
Yes.
And no, there's no telling what they'll call that boy. They'll probably call him Flu.
Something. They'll always be speaking death over him.
Over all the time.
I mean, it's child abuse.
So names are extremely important. So that now, I learned a lot from my grandfather on my mother's side. When he came up, of course, he's Indian. So he didn't have a name. Everybody just called him Chum. He was Chum Owens. Well, then he had to sign up for the draft in World War I. And the guy I was writing down said, what's your name? He said, Chum Owens. No, I don't need your nickname. What's your name? W.E. Owens. Well, what does a W.E. stand for? William Elmer. He named himself after two men that he had very high respect for.
There you go.
He named himself. He had the privilege of choosing his own name. So he named himself after two men that he had very high respect for, William Elmer Owens, W.E. Owens.
It's not too late to change your identity.
Well, that's right.
Because Jesus changed my identity.
Yeah, and as soon as that little boy gets old enough, he ought to change his name to Penicillin or something.
Yeah, he probably will.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, it's better than
flu.
Flu or whatever. Yeah. Pestilence. You know. But thank God that he gave him a name exalted above every name, and that I am named in his name.
Yes.
That's my identity now.
Yes, praise God.
And I have to meditate on that because the words are containers.
Praise God. Well, we're out of time. How did you do that?
Talk too much.
Okay. Well, all right. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. When God's word is in you, you can't help but have excellent results. Learn how you can produce only good things in your life with the audio teaching, Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results by Kenneth Copeland. He says the way to choose life is by attending to his word and speaking faith-filled words. God's word produces health, prosperity, peace, everything good you could ever need. It pleases him to see you blessed, living in the abundance Jesus paid for. What's in your heart is what you'll see in your life. Learn to guard it with the word of God. When the word is in you, you're able to speak it by faith. Choose to align your mouth with him and reprogram your heart from death to life. You are a child of God, so learn to do things his way, the blessing way. God's words received into your heart and spoken out your mouth are his creative force in the earth today. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's series entitled Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results. Available on MP3 disc at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org.uk/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
Isn't this wonderful that words are spiritual containers? I thought about that in years past, but the Lord dropped it in my heart. No, you major on this. So we're going to be talking about this one way or another all week long. I'm glad and you're glad. And we always want to remember this. These words are important. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord. Well, praise Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls kcm.org.uk your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.
In 2023, join Kenneth Copeland at these free KCM events to build your faith and live in victory. March 23 through 25, come to the Sacramento Victory Campaign in North Highlands, California. April 13 through 15, join us at the Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri. June 22 through 24, make plans to be at the Chattanooga Victory Campaign in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Go to kcm.org/events for more information.
Find something life-giving on kcm.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real-life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library. Over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.